we're having a special class just to discuss different mitzvot, biblical mitzvot. I want us to first cover biblical mitzvot that people aren't very familiar with. So let's begin with the mitzvah of payas. You guys know what payas are? Okay, what's the mitzvah of payas? Oh, so pe'ah means a corner. The Torah says on the corner of, we have two corners. We have the corners of our beards, and we have the corners of our hair on the head. Two different types of hair. On the hair on our head, so the Torah says you have a hairline. Those of you who still have hair, all of you but me, right? You have a hairline that runs across your forehead, and then you have a hairline that runs behind your ear, right? So the Torah says, don't equate the hairline. Meaning, this piece of hair, if you draw a line from the corner of the hairline, the top of the widow's peak, down to the hairline behind the ear, all the hair going down from there, you have to leave at least long enough that you can fold the hair over onto itself. Like, let's say, 3-4 millimeters, right? You can't cut this too short. Has nothing to do with the razor blade, even with scissors. So you're doing great, Daniel. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. All of you guys are doing great. People sometimes go to the army, and then they get a buzz, and they think they leave a little bit of hair here, that's enough. No. All of this, from the hairline downward, you make a diagonal going down behind the ear. All the hair on the head over here has to be about 3-4 millimeters long. It has to be long enough that you can fold the hair onto itself. That's called a hair in halacha. So you got to leave the hair long enough so that you can so that you haven't equated the hair. You haven't drawn a line. You haven't shaven a line that attaches the hairline. This is biblical.
Some Haredim of those really ugly haircuts where
right.
Completely bald except this.
Exactly. Hair. Right. They would cut it all off, but they're not allowed to, so they have to leave this.
Where does it say it?
It's in the Torah in Parshas Kedoshim, in the book of Vayikra, about chapter 19.
It
says, Lo Sakifu Be'as Roshchem. Do not, Lo Sakifu, don't make a complete circle of the corners of your hair. Look it up. Any reason. Okay, so Maimonides writes that the logic behind it is that this was a pagan custom, and the Torah wanted to differentiate us from the pagans. And if you look in the church also, that was the custom. They used to shave everything around there. Look at ancient pictures of monks. They used to shave exactly this. They'd leave a hair on top. That's what, they used to have a name for this in, when I was a kid. They'd have like...
with the bald hair around.
Bald all around, right. So it used to be a pagan custom. Maimonides says it's one of the things the Torah says don't do. And it stems from the fact that the Torah didn't want us to behave like the pagans. But we don't really know why the Torah gives us mitzvahs. This is one biblical mitzvah. So far, so good? Okay. Now we have another mitzvah that's very similar and sometimes gets confused, and that is the pe'ah, the corners of the beard. Here, the Torah says, you're not allowed to shave your beard, the corners of the beard, which constitutes basically the whole face, with a razor blade. So we're not allowed to shave with a razor. You can get a shaver that works like scissors. You can get a trimmer. Or the way shavers work, unless they're lift and cut, the way shavers work is you have a screen, and then you have another blade that cuts across the screen. The screen, the blade twirls around and cuts across the screen. The lift and cut works differently. What the lift and cut does is it pulls the hair inside, and then it cuts it like a blade. So then you have the razor action. The Torah says you're not allowed to cut your beard with a razor. You have to cut it with you can cut it with a scissor, or they have creams, depilatory creams that remove the hair. That's okay. If you have a shaver that is lift and cut, you could remove the lift and cut mechanism online. They'll show you how to do it. There's an easy koshershavers.com or something. On my website, I put a link to it. I have links. So that's easy. But most shavers are okay, and there are even halachic opinions that permit lift and cuts. So if you're buying a razor, a shaver with the screen, so you have what to rely on, that's okay. Shaver with the screen. But razor, so that's prohibited. So people sometimes confuse that. The hair on the head has nothing to do with the razor. We understand that. So not getting a short haircut here. From the beard downward, so there we're not supposed to cut with the razor blade. The barber wants to cut the back of your head with a razor blade, no problem. Yeah? Clear? Okay. What's the reason? I don't know. Again, I think the Rambam equates it with pagan customs, but I'm not sure.
I don't. They had nothing else to cut it.
They had scissors. I mean, Jews used to grow beards.
Sure.
And they also had depilatory creams. They did. It says, I mean, look, in the Megillah, what did we just read? The girls would spend 6 months in a certain oil that would remove all their hair, right? They had oils that removed all hair. They had stuff that removed hair. Yeah, right. That's what it says in the Megillah. So now we've covered two mitzvot, the mitzvahs of the corners of the hair locks, and the corners of the beard, which basically encompasses the whole face. Now, let's go to a mitzvah that you all know, and that is one of the Ten Commandments, honor your parents. So let's just expand on that a little bit. What does it mean to honor our parents? So honoring, we have three mitzvot in the Torah about parents. We have a mitzvah to honor them, we have a mitzvah to have awe of them, respect, and we have a mitzvah not to deride them. So honoring our parents and respecting them would include not contradicting them. You know, a parent says something, we treat them respectfully, contradict them. Our father says, I heard tomorrow it's going to rain. And we pipe up and say, no, they said it's going to be beautiful. It's wrong, it's not respectful. It includes not saying anything that they wouldn't want us to say about them also. I mean, that's true of any Jew. And then there's respecting them in the way that if they need our help, they want us to do shopping, they want us to get groceries. So the mitzvah of honoring our parents is at their expense. Meaning if they want us to do the shopping, they should give the credit card. We don't have to cover the bill, but we do have to give the time. So if your parents want you to buy them souvenirs, your father wants you to get him a talis or something, you have to take the time to do it, but he has to cover the bill. Now this is even if you're Bill Gates. Your father wants you to do something for him, you don't have to cover the bill. It's nice of you to foot the bill, you know, you should have appreciation for all the time your parents are footing your bill, but you don't have to, that's not the mitzvah. And then there's the prohibition against deriding parents. Which means if a parent says something and you just go, huh, you just make a small sound that shows like, yeah, right. You didn't say anything. You said almost nothing. It could be a look. But a look that's derisive is prohibited biblically. So that's, in a nutshell, the mitzvahs of honoring our parents. Now, let's go over to the biblical mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Torah tells us, let's say a guy has a firstborn son. So being that the firstborn were killed in Egypt, so the firstborn have to be redeemed. So if you guys didn't do it yet, any of you firstborns? No. Okay, but maybe you have siblings who are firstborns. So you go to the Kohen, and you give him something that's the equivalent value of 5 sela, which is somewhere about 200 shekel nowadays. That's the equivalent value. You don't necessarily have to have silver coins. I mean, you could take a CD player that has that value. You could take anything that has that value. And you give it to the coin and you say, there's a whole blessing. It's a whole procedure. We give the coin. It's not complicated. It takes all 5 minutes. Customarily, we do a meal and we invite everyone and we put the kid on a tray and we adorn him with jewelry and we make it a whole festive thing. But technically, you could do it in 5 minutes or less. Pidyon HaBen, and if one's parents didn't do it on their behalf, so he has a mitzvah to do it on his own. Any of you Kohanim or Levim? No. Okay, so unless your wife is a Kohen or a Levi, so then your children, your firstborn, assuming it's not a cesarean, assuming it's a normal delivery, you're going to have this mitzvah to redeem your firstborn. 30 days after the baby's born, you set up with a Kohen and you do this. If you can afford it, you make a meal and you invite guests. If you can't afford it, you could do it in your own home. The mitzvah is a mitzvah. You don't have to have the meal. You know, better do the mitzvah and forgo the meal than not do the mitzvah. Okay, so that's the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. To redeem him. So there'll be Kohanim that'll give you the money. There are many Kohanim that what they do is they have the coins of that value. It's not a lot of money. And they'll give you the coins and then you'll pay him with the coins that he gave you.
What do they do with the coins that you give them?
So some Kohanim will give them back to you and some won't. He doesn't have to. Legally, they're his. He doesn't have to give them back to you. But some will, and some won't. Okay. Now let's deal with a prohibition that you guys probably heard of. The Torah says we're not allowed to pain animals unnecessarily. So if I'm riding on a horse, okay, no, I'm riding on a horse. I'm allowed to use the animals. If I have a pet dog, fine. You know, I have a pet cat. I want to leave her in a cage for a period. That's okay. We're allowed to eat animals. You know, we have a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos or in other times. Fine. That's okay. But let's say... let's say a guy has a dog that's harmful. So he says, okay, bad dog, I'm going to cut its legs. So he slices its legs, and now the dog ain't going to be able to run around and bite anyone. So we say, no, you can't do that. You want to put the dog to sleep, fine. But to pain the dog and leave it in a situation where it's suffering, can't do that. So any pain that's unnecessary is prohibited. You want to use the pack animal, use the pack animal with a normal load. But if you overload it and now it's suffering under the load, that's a biblical prohibition called Tzar Ba'alei Chaim. You're not allowed to cause pain unnecessarily to any living creature, any animal. Yeah? Clear? No, that's not the reason, but hunting is permitted technically. It's not prohibited. You know, again, that's your use. Your use as you're doing it. It doesn't go in line with the direction of life Judaism wants us to have, you know, but that's the spirit of the law. Technically, there's no prohibition. If a guy wants to go hunting, so that's the purpose that the animal's serving him. He's going to use the hide. He could sell the flesh to a non-Jew. The idea that I'm going to spend my fun is going to be to hunt another animal that's running for its life, that's not a Jewish theme. But that's the spirit of the law.
Can you eat an animal that you shoot?
No.
Right.
Oh, so you guys didn't learn, you didn't have a class on Shechita, so you'll still have one. They give you, every group has a class on that, on Shechita. So we'll leave that for your Shechita class. And they usually bring birds and they shech them. They show you the process itself. Okay, good for you. Okay. I didn't mean that in a bad way. I was a vegetarian for over a decade. I empathize. Okay. I meant it in a good way. Okay. Now, did you guys learn about the concept of a ger? You know what a ger is? A ger? What's a ger? You guys were here for the interview with David Rubley?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. So we have a biblical mitzvah. We have many biblical mitzvahs to love a ger. You guys understand the concept? You don't have a mitzvah to love your father. You know that? You have a mitzvah to honor him. You don't have a mitzvah to love your mother. You don't have a mitzvah to love your kids. You have a mitzvah to love the ger. You guys get the concept? This poor guy came here, he joined us, and the Torah gives us a special mitzvah to give him preferential treatment. So we have to remember that. When we can, we help them. We do what we can to help them. We take into account. Poor guys, they don't have it easy. Okay. You guys familiar with the prohibition of Lashon Hara? Yes? Okay, who wants to summarize it? Right, we're not supposed to say anything that the other guy wouldn't want us to say about him. You know, unless there's... We try to... Well, we say that when you talk about people, you'll usually end up saying something bad. If I tell you, he's great, he's amazing, you know, if I keep saying something, eventually I'm going to have to say, yeah, but... I'm going to always have to limit it. He's not perfect. So the more you talk about people, the more likely you are to end up saying something bad. But it's not technically prohibited to say anything about someone, you know. You know, my father sells cheese. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. You know, so-and-so had a baby boy. Nothing wrong with that. We do talk about people. The idea is, if you're going to go on and on praising someone, you're going to end up saying but. And that but is Lashon Hara. Okay. We have a mitzvah to honor Shabbos. How do we honor Shabbos? How do we honor Shabbos? What's the mitzvah to honor Shabbos?
Keep it.
Okay, so part of it is keeping it, but that's the provisions of Shabbos. That's one of the Ten Commandments, to watch the day of Shabbos. Aside from that, one of the commandments is to honor Shabbos. How do we honor Shabbos? So we honor it by making Kiddush and Abdallah. We denote the Shabbos when it begins and ends. We honor it by walking calmly, talking calmly, having good food on Shabbos. You guys got Mishloach Manos, right? Undoubtedly, among your Mishloach Manos were some goodies, right? Things that were exceptionally yummy. So, one of the things the Torah wants us to do is when we have something unusually good, save it in honor of Shabbos. Most people don't do that. They get their goodies. Oh, Hamantashen, let me see how that tastes. Great. Maybe it won't be good on Shabbos. Then you don't have to save it for Shabbos. But if it's something that will be good on Shabbos, you got an unusual chocolate, so you can eat it today. No prohibition. But if you save it in honor of Shabbos, you fulfill the mitzvah. That's part of honoring Shabbos. Holding on to our good things in honor of Shabbos. And being focused on Shabbos. Part of it is wearing nice clothing. Wearing a nice white shirt. Taking a shower in honor of Shabbos. Taking a shave, a haircut, cutting our nails. We honor Shabbos with the way we approach it. We light Shabbos candles in honor of Shabbos, right? You have enough light in the room, you don't need the candles. It's a way of honoring Shabbos. We have three meals on Shabbos. It's part of the honors and joys of Shabbos that we're supposed to have. A couple has a mitzvah to have intimacy Friday night. It's part of the way we enjoy and honor Shabbos. Guys, clear? Okay. Now let's move on to a little known prohibition. You guys hear of the prohibition of Kilayim? Kilayim. Okay, so the Torah prohibits crossbreeding. Crossbreeding animals or crossbreeding plants. Meaning if I want to graft an apple tree and an orange tree, you guys know what it means to graft? You take one branch, you attach it with another branch, and then you get a new fruit. So that's biblically prohibited. I'm not even allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it on my behalf. So I'm not allowed to crossbreed animals. I'm not allowed to crossbreed trees. And there's another prohibition which we don't understand, but it's a prohibition. We're not allowed to wear a garment that has wool and linen put together. That's called shatnitz. So if you guys have very fancy suits, Hugo Boss, $800 suits, I run a gemach. Where we give clothing to people who can't afford it. So about 2 years ago, I got a donation of suits that were $1,000 a piece. These suits, like really, really good suits. But I told all the people who took them, I said, these quality suits, you have to check for shatnitz. Ordinarily, you buy a suit for $200, so it's a good thing to check for shatnitz. Jewish people do that. You have shatnitz checkers, they take it to the laboratory, they look under the microscope, and they'll tell you right away if there's wool and linen mixed in. Sometimes they use linen for the buttons, sometimes they use it for the lapel, sometimes they use it for the inserts that harden the collar. There are different places they know how to check whether they use linen in a wool suit. And then you have a problem. You have to take out the linen and replace those strings. But if you buy a very expensive suit or you get a very expensive suit, then you have to check it. And truth be told, all those suits had shatnitz. And the guy who donated to me was a God-fearing Jew. For years, he wore suits that were all filled with shatnitz. A very wealthy man. He never thought to check his suits for shatnitz. All his suits, $1,000 suits, he donated to, and I gave them over to the people. All of them checked. So they invested 150 shekel, and they replaced the collars. It was mainly in the collars that they had the shatnitz. For 150 shekel, they got a $1,000 suit. Still a good deal, yeah?
How do you take it out?
So the laboratories, they know how to do it. They know how to cut it out and put it in.
Is there any rationale? I mean, it seems like the most obscure and absurd mitzvah.
On the surface, it's a chok. It's a statute. It's a mitzvah that we don't understand. On deeper levels, so our sages say it goes back to the First World War. What was the First World War? Cain and Abel. First murder in world history. What was Cain's offering? Cain brought linen. He brought the fruits of that were really linen. And Abel's was wool. And the Torah says these two shouldn't mix, the wool and linen that go back to Cain and Abel. And today they found that there are different cancers, that they find that there's something that the wool and linen mixture emits, that they're finding a connection to certain cancers. But who knows? We don't know. For millenniums we've been keeping this and we call it a statute, that we don't know the reason. The Torah just said so. We have all kinds of reasons quoted in Chazal, but on the surface, we don't understand it. Okay, let's touch on another mitzvah that's coming up, and that is the mitzvah to be happy on a Yom Tov. Comes Pesach, comes Sukkot, comes Shavuos. We have mitzvah to be happy, to have meat, to have wine. You don't have to have meat. If you don't like meat, have a good quiche. Have something, whatever makes you happy. You know, in ancient times, we would have meat. Today, if that's not what makes you happy, you don't have to have meat. Eat what you enjoy. But we do this. We buy the kids nuts. We buy the kids candy. We buy our wives new clothing. We buy our wives jewelry. we get ourselves the food we like, or maybe a new suit. It's part of enhancing the Yom Tov. Now, another mitzvah that's coming up is we have Chol HaMoed. You know, in the middle of Pesach, you have 6 days that are not Yom Tov, but not completely weekday. So we're supposed to honor those days. We're not supposed to walk around in jeans like it's a weekday. We're supposed to wear slightly nicer clothing. You don't have to dress up like Shabbos. We're supposed to honor those days and do things that are more respectable during those days. And we will conclude with two mitzvot. One mitzvah is the Torah says, don't go the ways of the pagans. So what does that mean? You know, the pagans wear pants. Obviously, we're allowed to wear pants. They wear shirts. Obviously, we're allowed to wear shirts. So what the Torah is telling us is that there are things that they do which stem from pagan, from all kinds of pagan customs. Meaning, let's say they say, when a baby's born, you wave him around the candle. So you ask them, what does that help? We don't know, but that's what we do. So we know that it goes back to the pagan worship of Molech, where they pass a baby through two fires as a way of worshiping the god of fire, the god of Molech. So a Jew's not allowed to do that. Any custom that you see them doing that has no logic to it, you can't do. They say a black cat walked across your path, don't go down that path. You know, you have a broken mirror, you're going to have a bad day, don't look in a broken mirror. All kinds of things that don't make any sense. We're not supposed to do them. Some of them are superstition that the Torah prohibits. Some of them are lo sechu v'chukos ha'akum. Now this applies to clothing as well. Meaning if there are clothing that they wear that make no sense, so we're not supposed to wear those clothing. If, you know, doctors wear doctors' clothing, and lawyers wear lawyers' clothing, and judges wear judges' clothing, and everyone knows the profession based upon the clothing you wear, so that's fine. So you can wear that clothing if you're in that profession. But if, let's say, Jews always wear modest clothing or modest colored clothing, and suddenly you see that the non-Jews are wearing blazing red or blazing blue or all kinds of fancy colors, and the Jews aren't doing that, so we say, well, anything that connotes modesty that Jews are doing, different than the non-Jews, you're not supposed to break the Jewish custom. Today, all Jews wear kippot, right? We all wear a yarmulke. So if a person were to walk without a yarmulke, he would be in transgression of this commandment. Because we wear yarmulkes. What does yarmulke mean? You guys know? Yarmulke, yore me eloka. Yore, fearful, me eloka, from the one above. The kippah, yarmulke, is supposed to remind us that one is above. We're supposed to behave differently. So if a Jew were to take off his kippah and say, I'm going to walk around without a kippah, I'm going to be like the non-Jews. So that's this prohibition. The Torah says, don't be like them. On things that you do different than them, and either you do different out of modesty, or they do different and there's no logical explanation for what they're doing, don't be like them. It used to be that Jews didn't grow their hair long. So, used to be. Today, I don't know if we could say there's a difference between Jews and non-Jews. In ancient times, in King David's times, the knights used to have huge locks of hair in the front and back. And you'd look at a man, and he'd come charging at you at war, and you'd see this huge lock of hair coming out in the front. It was a pretty terrifying sight. So Jews were prohibited from doing it. It was one of the things that, out of modesty, we kept our haircuts modest. They kept their hair long and showy. So that was something. You know, if a person's in politics, or if a person needs it for his position, he should ask. Because King David's sons, they used to lead the Jews to war. And in order to scare the enemy, he had hundreds of sons. They used to grow huge locks of hair, just like the non-Jews. Because this way, when they went to war, they'd lead the battalions. And the enemy would see them, and it would be an impressive sight. So for public service, there are areas of leniency. And the last mitzvah we'll touch on today is the biblical prohibition of hating a fellow Jew in our heart. The Torah says you're not allowed to hate a fellow Jew in your heart. We have a mitzvah to love our fellow Jew, and we have a prohibition against hating him in our heart. So let's quickly review what we saw today. We saw the prohibition of shatnez, of kilayim, of crossbreeding animals and crossbreeding fruits, and wool and linen in our garments. We said if we buy a garment that has wool in it, the labels are I haven't seen a country that really is careful about the labels. You can't trust the label. Even if it says 100% wool, they could use linen in the buttons. In other areas, you could go to a laboratory here. They'll check it for you. It's a few shekels. especially if you're buying an expensive suit. We discussed the mitzvah of the corners of our hair on our head, that we're not supposed to cut them short, shorter than maybe 3 millimeters. We discussed the beard, that we're not supposed to shave with a razor. We discussed honoring our parents, not deriding our parents, having respect for our parents. We said they have to cover the expenses. We discussed the mitzvah of redeeming a firstborn child that's born not from a cesarean. And we give the coin the value of about 200 shekel. You'll check, email me, I'll give you the exact number when you need it. We discussed the honoring and enjoying Shabbos. From Sunday already, we take our chosen foods. We discussed not going in the ways of the non-Jews and things that are either illogical or things that the Jews do different out of modesty. We discussed the prohibition of hating our brother in our hearts. We discussed Tzar Balei Chaim, that we're not allowed to cause unnecessary affliction to animals. We discussed loving a ger, loving a convert. We discussed honoring the holiday and being happy, rejoicing on a holiday. Any questions? Okay.